Good Sunday morning and welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And a little bit cool out there, a little bit cooler than it has been, but another wonderful day yesterday. I do hope that you are catching the 8 o'clock news coming in from Ireland and also that segment afterwards, what it says in the papers, and that you're finding it is connecting you back with what is going on and what's happening back there. And of course, we run for 2 hours now from 8 until 10, and at 9 we're bringing you An Nuacht from Radio na Gaeltachta. And we've been able to negotiate that arrangement with RTE since there early in July. And as I say, I do hope you are tuning in and enjoying that. The other thing, of course, is this program comes to you out on the internet at chinradio.com, or you can catch a link on my website, thegaelichour.ca. In addition, the program ends up on the web as an archive and a file. About 9.15 I get the first hour up, and then about 10.15 the second hour gets up there, and that's at thegaelichour.ca. And we also try and put a playlist up there of the music that we play on the program. In addition, there's a calendar advising you of the events that are going on in the city. And if you want to contact me, the email address is austin@thegaelichour.ca, and the email box is open during the program. This program is brought to you in part by the generous support that I received from the Heart and Crown group of companies, and also from the Monterey Inn Resort. And without their help, we wouldn't be broadcasting. And also from the help I received from the Friends of the Gaelic Hour. And I'm glad to say the number of the Friends is growing. The financial support does help, because this program is an independent broadcast that is financed by the support I receive from the Heart and Crown, Monterey Inn, and the Friends. And you know, we're coming up to nearly 5 years on the air. I think we've been out there now with, given that there's 104 hours in a year, I think we've gone over the 500 hours, which is way beyond the dreams that we had when we got started, but delighted to be able to do it. And very early on, the Heart and Crown came on board, Larry Bradley and Pat Kelly came on board in support of the program, and have been doing so solidly since. And, you know, two powerful gentlemen, tremendous resources in this city to the Irish community, and I thought it was time to go and chat with them again. So we're going to do that in today's program and catch up with where they've been and how they're doing. And two modest gentlemen you won't find that are more modest in this city when it comes to it. Very low key on one level, but very influential on the other. I wonder if you made it down to Pipefest yesterday. That was down at Confederation Square, and there are a lot of things coming up that I do need to tell you about. The other thing, did you get down to the Rideau Canal Festival? It was a lot of fun down at the Bytown Museum on Saturday there, where we managed to have the Gaelic Unplugged, and then on Sunday, so Mary covered off on the emceeing on Sunday, and she had people up dancing and everything else indeed. And some of the events that are coming up in the city that I do want to tell you about, because you need to, if you want to attend particularly this event, it's the literary tour. It's five female Irish authors, and they're coming on October 20th. There will be limited seating, because I think we will be restricted in our ability to accommodate people. It will be at St. Bridget's, Centre for the Arts and Humanities, that's down in St. Patrick Street. And tickets are on sale at ticketweb.ca. For that, it's $35 at the door, $30 in advance, and the phone number is 1-888-222-6608. The five Irish authors that are coming are Catherine Dunn, Celia Dufresne, Ivy Bannister, Leah Mills, and Mary Rose Callaghan. And we've had the ladies on the show, and we'll be having them on in October also, when they get here to town. But they're prepared to come and give of their time in order to help raise funds for stroke research, to help and have been helping Helen Hansen. And we had Helen on the show some time back. Helen suffered from a stroke, and as part of her recovery was working on getting her language skills back. And she came to the attention indirectly of Catherine Dunn, and Catherine invited her to Ireland and encouraged her to keep writing. And part of that is she's returning, she's come. Catherine and her friends are willing to come over and read in order to help raise awareness and funds. The other thing I have to tell you about, of course, is on September 10th to 12th, there is the annual British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa Family History Conference, and that will be at Library and Archives Canada on Wellington Street. And the focus this year is on Ireland, and we'll be doing a program on that on the 31st or the 29th of August. We'll be talking about that. We have some of the participants and the lecturers going to come on and give us details of what they're going to share at that conference. If you want information on that, www.bifhsgo.ca, and it'll lead you through, follow the links, and you can register and get all the information on that. Enough waffle out of me. It's about time we went and we had a chat with Pat Kelly and Larry Bradley.
Everybody in the Irish community in Ottawa is very familiar with my next two guests, and two tremendous workers, very unassuming individuals, and both very humble individuals, and people who have contributed greatly, not just to the Irish community in Ottawa, but to the Irish community across Canada in very, very many ways. Larry Bradley and Pat Kelly, welcome to the Gaelic Club.
Thank you, Austin.
Thanks, Austin.
I'm going to start with Larry. What brought you to Canada?
Well, I came over here just actually to see what it was like, just for a bit of adventure, and I thought there'd be a lot more opportunities over here, and you came a little more exciting.
And you came in 73.
73, yeah.
And, of course, the 70s in Ireland, Ireland was literally still a poor country.
Yeah. Ireland was in bad shape when I left, between the... things not so good in the south as far as the economy was going, and all the trouble that was up in the north. Things were very bad right after that effect. But that's just not the reason why I left. You know, I mean, I was working there and I had a good enough job, but I wanted to see what the rest of the world looked like here.
And why Canada?
Oh, Canada was a big country. Seemed like there's lots of opportunity, lots of work. Just like a fella told me before I left, he says, you'll never be without work. He says, even in the wintertime, he says, you can shovel snow if you have to get a job doing that. So I felt comfortable about coming here and that there wouldn't be lots of work. And that's what I was looking for.
I'll come back to you in a minute about when you did go to apply to come here. But Pat, what brought you to Canada?
Well, similar to Larry, I just wanted a little adventure after leaving high school. And I spent a year in Chicago, and then I came to Toronto. I spent a year and a half in Toronto and got an opportunity to come to Ottawa for 3 months. That was 37 years ago.
And when you came, your brother ended up in Ottawa as well, but had there been anyone on this side before that kind of paved the way?
Well, I had an uncle in Toronto that I'd stayed with for a period of time, and my cousins there who were very helpful and got me on the right road.
And I think that's reflective of all of us, that there's been people along the way who have helped open doors and pave the way, which I know you guys continue to do for many others. But when you were applying, Larry, you said you know, that you were employed, you were working away at home. I understand when you went in to fill out the paperwork and all the rest of it, that your interpretation of the English language might have been a bit different than the interpretation of the immigration people.
That's right, but... whatever he said was right, didn't I? As long as I was getting in.
So what, Joe told him you were a forklift?
He said it was a construction forklift operator.
Right.
He said I had to be wrong. And I said, well, whatever you think. Oh, he says, no, he says you're an industrial forklift operator. So I said, that's fair enough for me. So I never said I'm an industrial forklift in my life. After that, so but I've done everything else.
So when you came in, you say you came in through Toronto, then you ended up in Northern Ontario.
That's right. Yeah, I was working like on the building sites in Toronto, and I met up with some people from Kapuskasing, and they said that there was a lot of money to be made up north in Kapuskasing, cutting bush. So I headed up there and see what that was like. I didn't realize how far it was and how many black flies there was, but that's where I ended up. I stayed there for 3 years. I never did cut any bush, but I used to work for a telephone company up there. And that was good enough.
And then, Pat, as you say, you came to Ottawa from Toronto. How did you two guys come together?
Oh, after Mass one Sunday, we went for a pint.
We bumped into each other at the communion rails. Actually, that's what we mean, the bar.
Well, yeah, so how do you guys link up? And what?
Oh, we met at the pub, I think.
I think we met
at... Irishman meet.
Molly Maguire's.
All right.
I think it was at Molly's on Rita Street.
Rita Street back in 76.
Both of you were involved in the Gaels.
Yeah.
Because then you got the Gaels, Pat. You got the Gaels going, what, about 75, 74, 75?
Well, we had our first, and they were, I had lots of help, John Keane and Don Kavanagh and people like that, they were very helpful. But in 74, we had our first game against Montreal, but we joined the league in 75.
Right. And you ended up playing
well. Well, things really improved in 76 when I got here. They had me on as the fullback there, you know, so I was able to save.
So there was nothing got past you.
That's right, nothing got past me.
That hasn't changed.
No.
Yeah.
When did the idea of Bradley Kelly get hatched?
Well, we worked together for about 4 or 5 years after, and through all of Northern Ontario and actually out in Saskatchewan, and over the years, or over the many nights, we discussed it and decided, well, one day we'd better do something about it.
Right.
Yeah. And either shut up or get on with it.
That's about it.
And we started in 82.
And when you started up, at that stage, you were, from the previous jobs you'd been doing, you were able to establish a local presence effectively for what you had been working on previously.
Yeah, we had worked with Bell Canada and Ottawa Hydro and different companies like that, and we had been working with those people for quite a while and had made some contacts, but yeah, it started on a very small scale.
Of course, the 80s were bad times in Ireland as well, so you guys would have seen people coming over, and I know you helped lots of people who, as they came over, to give them some work and get them a start, because that was another bad recession at that time.
Right. Yeah.
When then did you say, well, there's an opportunity to get into the pub business?
Well, that was later on in the 80s.
It was 92.
Late 80s, things went bad in the construction business.
Right.
Pat laid me off. So I thought it was a good opportunity for me to move on to something else, which I always wanted to do anyway, 10 years before that. And but we were that busy at the time, we never kind of got our heads up to then, and so I thought it was a good opportunity to get into the bar business and get things up and going. That was in 92.
Well, the only the real Irish pub was Molly Maguire's. Molly Maguire's at that time.
Right.
And that was a success in Pinchin for a long time.
Right.
That's right. A guy from Tom and Kate in Strabane, which is about 20 miles from where I'm from, he was running that. He had some partners in it, but he was the main guy in that.
And Des McCann, of course, was he operating at that time?
Not at that time, no. Des came a lot later than that.
I forget what
time. In the 80s, I think he'd have been around the middle 80s.
Right.
When he started up Gentle Annie's.
Yeah.
That was a good little spot, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you came in here, the first spot then was the one out front here, the Heart and Crown?
Yeah, right on the front of Terrence and Perron Street.
And at that time, the market wasn't really, it was nothing like it is today.
Well, when I came here in 72, the end of 72, they rolled up the sidewalks at 6 o'clock in the evening. No, you had to be adventurous to come into the market later on. There were a few, you would cause kind of...
You're looking for a bit of company, you'd get it over here.
Yeah, okay.
But times have changed. Things out of me. You didn't want to say it.
But times have changed. That's no longer the case.
Yeah, this whole quarter was... there was a lot of bums and hookers around this quarter. There was only a couple of restaurants. I think it was maybe two or three, counting us. Now there was maybe 23.
Yes.
At that time they were not very good quality. Now we have very good neighbors, top class restaurants,
The quality is a great street to be on now. And,
as you guys expanded here, you did establish yourself very much so as the Irish village in every respect. It was the place that became a focal point for anyone in the Irish community to arrive and meet people.
Yeah, I think so. We get a lot of people that come over, even on holidays. This is where they come. They actually go to other places in town, and they direct them down here because we're the only Irish-owned bar pub in the city. So they always sort of like to meet up with their own, and this is where they come from. No matter what part of Ireland they come from, they come down here.
One of the things that I was curious about, and I know a lot of people would be curious about, is like, do you guys ever kind of have a disagreement?
Every second day?
We never disagree at night when we're asleep. Huh?
That's right. Oh, we had lots of disagreements, yeah, definitely. Lots of disagreements, but we never fell out.
Right.
Lots of disagreements, yeah, but never fell out.
And
we always settled them.
But the essence of a good business relationship is that you can work through whatever that needs to be worked through.
That's right.
Yeah. What would you say were the biggest challenges then?
Well, there were ups and downs in the construction in different periods, and we had to work through them, and we were involved in some other smaller ventures, and some of them, because of the economy, or some, we made our mistakes too. But you just put your back to the wheel and push harder, that's all.
Yeah. And for you, what would you say?
Well, that's about the same thing. Work through the hard times, and hopefully get a little bit of luck after that. Okay, you got to keep working.
In relation to when you guys arrived, Ottawa has changed radically. And the Irish immigrant has changed radically. Like, the people that are now arriving are very different than would have been the ones that would have been arriving in the late 70s, early 80s.
I totally agree, yeah.
If you, how would you perceive it?
Well, when we landed here, we were hungry.
Yeah.
And we were coming from a country that was fairly well on its knees at the time, and we maybe might have been a little more ambitious and more hungry than what they are today, because we've had a boom in Ireland for the last 20 years, and they've had things a lot easier than us. So, but saying that, I think a lot more of them are more educated than university guys, and well, a lot of us guys weren't at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We went out to work early and didn't get a chance to go to school like a lot of them did today. So there was quite a bit of a difference.
Both of you go home regularly. So you would have seen changes, not just here, but you would have seen changes over the last particularly 20 years. And given that, Pat, you're from County Galway, and you and Tyrone, that there are different dynamics in both places. How would you comment on how things have changed, Larry, up in the last 20, 25 years, in every respect, economically and everything else?
Like you say, there's a big difference in the north and the south.
Yeah.
Well, as far as the recession didn't hit us too bad, because we never really got out of a recession. We never kept fairly level. We never did the boom. And, but the good thing about it is that the political thing has been a lot better. The peace process is in place, and it's a million times better than it was. They have a long way to go, but but it's a lot better than it was. And so we're better off. The South's a little different story. They were up there. We never really got up there, but it's fairly level there. You know, it's not no big changes, only for the good. The violence and all that's gone away, and people are happy with that. We don't want it back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving along okay.
How about you?
Well, I agree with Larry and everything he said. The first time I went with Larry up to Oma, one of the first trip back, and it was our first trip going back as together. But you know, the soldiers are on the border, and it's kind of done. It's, you have machine guns aimed at you. And then, since then, all of that has disappeared, and it's great to see it and see the things, how they have settled. And, you know, one of our locals here in Ottawa, John de Chasselin, was very instrumental in doing that and gave us a lot of material that we hope to have show in the future. As far as the economy goes, we went from a very, very poor state back in the 70s and early 80s to a booming, and it was fantastic to hear Ireland was being used as a reference point for how to develop a country. The only thing I think is that we went a little too far, too fast, and they're hurting a little bit now, but the people are very well educated there, and I think they'll pull out of it, but it could take a while.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back with you after the... we have a few messages, and I hope you're enjoying the conversation we're having with Larry and Pat. It's the two nicer guys you can't meet. And we'll be back after these messages.
The Hart and Crown Irish Pubs had their humble beginnings in the heart of the Byward Market in 1992. The Snug Pub was opened in 1997. Mother McGinty's and Russian Doves were added in 2001, and now, in 2010, The Druid. You can also visit the Hart and Crown on Preston Street, the Old Dubliner and Poorhouse on York Street, and the James Street Pub on Bank Street. The Hart and Crown Irish Pubs for quality food and entertainment.
The Monterey Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and a short journey to the nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated pool and a fitness centre. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience of La Bodega Lounge. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca.
Reach your community with an effective, creative and reasonably priced ad campaign on The Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. Your message will be heard by loyal listeners to this programme and show that you also support The Gaelic Hour. Call 613-800-1853 for details. That's 613-800-1853. We've been chatting with Larry Bradley and Pat Kelly. And when I was down at the Hart and Crown earlier in the week recording the interview, of course, a great friend of theirs from down east, Brian Doherty, was down there. And Brian, with Kevin Evans, of course, have their 25 years in the business. And we'll be having Brian on the program sometime in September to talk about quite a few things, not just his music career, but some of the other things that he is involved in. But I thought I'd give you a flavour of some of their music.
When I was young and handy in me prime, in taverns I would sit and bide me time. There I met your company, I'd sit and drink me fill. There that you took hold of me, I think you've got me still. You're the foxy devil when the light. You set me mind at ease and then you strike. You set me head a reeling, you make me shout and sing. Memory flees and I get no ease till I have a little drink. You're the crafty rogue and that's for sure. For your company there is no cure. I've squandered all me money and the best years of me life on your charms, in spite of harm, in spite of peace and strife. You're the foxy devil in the light. You set me mind at ease and then you strike. You set me head a reeling, you make me shout and sing. Memory flees and I get no ease till I have a little drink. Sing and dance to love and fight. And despite misfortune, I'll take you as you are. Best of friends and enemies, the best I've known by far. You're the foxy devil when you like. Set me mind at ease and then you strike. Setting me head a reeling, you make me shout and sing. Memory flees and I get no ease till I have a little drink. You're the foxy devil when you lie. You set me mind at ease and then you strike. Set me head a feeling, you make me shout and sing. Memory flees and I get no ease till I have a little drink.
Both of you, I know, are keen GAA fans. I know we touched on, you've been involved in the Gaels and the formation of the Gaels. And Pat, you've been very committed all along, right down to, I know, going out marking the fields before the games. When it comes to your love of Gaelic football and bringing it to Ottawa through here on the Sundays for all that kind of stuff, you both go home for games, for finals as well and stuff like that.
I won't be going home this year.
You out of it. You probably couldn't listen to him if you had this interview last week.
That's right.
Because Tyrone was still in the championship and they got knocked out.
That's right.
To everyone's surprise, actually.
I'm a little quieter this week than it was last week. Don't forget, we're playing all the games. We had them on last week, and you know that. And we have all the games from now on.
That's right.
The quarterfinals, the finals.
That's right. And they're and that's a good opportunity for us to mention that. Actually, yeah. All the games are out in Mother McGinty's, and there's an opportunity to get breakfast, and it's a hell of a breakfast. If you want to get a seat, you better get down early, because the crowds do come down. And it's a great atmosphere. It is a great atmosphere. And I know you'll be doing the All-Irelands as well when we get into September.
Yeah,
you'll be covering all that as well. And the rugby season. Pat, the Gaels themselves, how are they doing this year?
Well, they're doing okay. They have had better years. And I'm hoping the championship. We have a great squad, both men and women. And all we have to do is put it together.
Right.
Together, the women have been had disappointments because quite a few of the Toronto teams haven't shown up on game day, and the guys have had way more wins than losses. But the championship is coming up, and if we get everyone together, we should have a good year in.
While we talk about the Gaels, I know you've also were instrumental or very involved in the Irish Society some years back, and you've been behind the scenes with Tara players. I don't think they'll be able to get you out on stage. Would you go out on stage?
Oh, yeah, I'll be right there, yeah.
Larry's on stage.
You know what? If I was acting,
great actor.
If I was acting, you know, I'd be acting.
But your involvement in the Irish community, as I said at the very beginning, like both of you have been there in the background and have helped an awful lot of people. Over the years, you must have seen a lot of people. You've seen a lot of people come and go. And I've seen a lot of people who have succeeded and seen a lot of people who have, it's been tough for them and have had to go back. How would you comment on how things are, how things have been like for that, for the Irish here and how the Irish in Ottawa have worked together over the last 15, 20 years and what their hopes are for?
I think they're working a lot better now than they ever worked. There's more stuff, there's more... The Tara Players is still going, the Celtics, the Irish Society, they're all going fairly good. And I mean, when I got here, there wasn't that many around. It seems like a lot more and a lot bigger and stronger today. And, you know, they've got the Cultural Centre now as well, and things seem to be moving along good. Pat knows more about that fairly.
Yeah. Are you happy with the way things are going, Pat?
Well, we always can improve on things, but in general... And the groups cooperate, I think, much better now. They help each other out much better. Are there things we could improve on? Sure. Mm-hmm. But and the more Irish people, you can't have a tower, the tower of players unless we have Irish people involved. For instance, the same thing with the Gaels, unless we have people from Ireland involved in it, and to have it bring the real essence of the game there, it won't survive. But that doesn't say that we cannot bring, and which we do in both the Gaels and the Tara players, they're mostly Canadians that are involved in it,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
most participate and so on. But the Irish dancing, for instance, when I came here, I'd seen Irish people who were almost ashamed of the Irish dancing. Now it's probably the dance group or dance that's talked about and performed the most.
On that, by the way, would you say the attitude to the Irish has changed?
Oh, I think so. At one time, you know, the leprechaun kind of...
The plastic leprechaun.
The plastic leprechaun and all this and that... It was annoying. Now we can laugh at it and say we are beyond that. We can take a joke as good as anyone. So.
Right. But even what would be in a way that if you were Irish, that it would have been more difficult, or that doors may have been closed in your faces or stuff like that. Did you ever encounter anything like that?
No, I never. I always find that most people like the Irish.
I think
they know more about the Irish today. Like I said, with the plastic leprechaun on it. That's what it was then days, you know. No, I think the Canadians know more about Ireland now over the last 20 years, because Ireland has been in the news for a lot of things, you know, the river dance and all that kind of stuff, and people are more interested, they find out more about Ireland than they did those days. I mean, everybody thought I got off the boat, you know, after a while I thought I did just get off the boat, but they didn't think I came here to play.
But the Irish are much... The level of education in Ireland is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was tops in Europe for, I don't know, the last decade or more.
Could you, either of you, see yourselves living back in Ireland? Could you see yourself coming back and settling?
Well,
or would you ever want to?
I would have no problem staying a month or two there.
Yeah.
No problem at all. But I don't know if I'd want to stay there all the time.
Yeah.
I like both things.
Yeah.
I love it here in Canada, and I love it when I go over there.
Mm.
But when I do go over there, I only go there for 2 or 3 weeks, and it's... I mean, maybe if I stayed a little longer, I mightn't like it as much, but I enjoy it when I go there.
Mm. Like Larry says, I love going back to Ireland. I love the... I intend to go for the All-Ireland Final again this year. My daughter is there, and her husband and kids and grandkids. So I love going back, but I don't think there are many places in the world better than Ottawa,
yeah.
if there is any.
In the last number of months, or in the last year, have you guys seen an increase in the number of Irish coming through, particularly? And I know, Pat, you with the Gaels that get wind of it quicker than most, or you, because of the pub as well, you get wind of it quicker than most.
Yeah, we've seen an increase this year.
Mm.
Usually get a few every year, but this year it seems to be a lot more.
Oh, there's much higher requests to come and get jobs. And, and there quite a few have come over in the last year or two, year and a half. People like Tom Kavanagh, who has been very helpful in the construction and has hired some who he regards as the best equipment operators that he has ever had.
He's a big kind of industrial forklift operator.
maybe I should give Tommy a call. See if I can get an industrial forklift out there.
I spoke to Tommy last week, and he had three new arrivals running big equipment for him, and he's very happy with them, and they're very happy with him too.
If either of you had the opportunity to go back and say I'd do things differently, would you do things differently? Larry, would you do things differently? Would you still go for the black flies?
Well, that may be one thing I'd do differently, right? I wouldn't bother my head doing that. I never did get the job in the bush, by the way, you know. That's why I wanted to make the big dough, you know. But anyway, I don't think I'd do anything different. It's worked out fairly good for us. I mean, we've worked hard on it. It was hard slogging for a long time. And still hard going, but I enjoy it. But no, I wouldn't do anything different.
Larry didn't tell you the story when he asked the guy for a job in the bush in Cap. I should tell you that one.
I'm listening.
Well, that's the one I went off to make the big money on. I didn't. I wanted to get a job on a crew there because they're really good. So anyway, I went for the interview and I knew I didn't have the job here, but the fella asked me, he says, "Have you got any experience? He says, you know how to run a chain?" So, of course I know how to run a chain. I wouldn't look for a job in the bush. I wouldn't know how to do that. So anyway, finally he says to me, "Well, where did you ever work before?" "I worked in the Sahara." He says, "There's no bush there." And he says, "There was before I started." That's a true story.
And you didn't get the job.
I didn't get the job. I didn't want to put the rest of the guys in a work.
It's so bad. We do anything different.
Not much. No, there are little incidents along, things happen along the way, but in general, no. I think Ottawa is a great place, even though I complain as much as anyone, especially in the winter time when we're out in construction. But overall, you can't find that much better.
Can you see yourself retiring?
I try to avoid as much work as I possibly can.
She thought he was retiring. I hope he doesn't retire any more than he is right now.
How about you? But can you see yourself retiring now?
I would like to do a bit less, but I don't see myself retiring. Not too soon, anyway. Maybe.
But when you're enjoying what you're
10
doing.
Or 20 years from now, I might think about it, you know?
Well, I want to do a few things here. One is I want to thank both of you for taking the time to talk to me. As I know, we are close to running out of time. I want to thank you both for the support that you give me and help the Gaelic Hour to stay broadcasting, as without your help, the Gaelic Hour would not be on the air. I hope it provides a vehicle for the organisations in the city to get their message out there.
Well, it was one, excuse me for butting in, but I think it was one of the great additions in the last few years, so the Gaelic Hour.
It's been a lot of fun. And I do want to thank you both. And I know with the opening of the Druid just down there now, and I was wondering if you were opening the Druid because that was in follow-on from St. Bridget's, because I know you considered the path, and it was the bishop down there, and you now wanted to get to the Druid.
You see, I'm the Druid, I'm the heathen, and he's the bishop. We got it covered in all business.
That's the way to have it. That's the way to have it. But thank you both for coming on the Gaelic Hour, and every success to you in the future.
Thanks, Austin.
Yeah, thanks, Austin.
What are we doing with the counting?
We're waiting for the crowd.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. We'll be right back.
That was Eimear Barrett and Chris Kelly with a piece called The Lissav Ruggie Waltz. And Lissav Ruggie is in the townland of Newcastle, County Galway, which is not too far away from Pat Kelly's home ground down there, from Eimear's CD, Fresh Notes. And the guys were talking there about the GAA and their involvement in the GAA. Well, I came across a little interesting snippet about some historic archival GAA material, which is going to go on display tomorrow at the Kilkenny Arts Festival.
Rare footage of hurling matches played in the US in the early decades of the last century will be shown for the first time at the Kilkenny Arts Festival. The footage, discovered by Dr. Sean Crossan of NUI Galway, features 1930 All-Ireland champions Tipperary alongside US-based teams.
Sticks are knocked from the player's hands, but the ball is always in motion. Down to the goalkeeper it goes again.
From the 1920s through to the 50s, the GAA brought its top players to the US to exhibit Gaelic games. News coverage of hurling matches led to Hollywood taking an interest in what was considered to be a sport for wild Irishmen.
Now there's a lot of battling around the net. Uh-oh, take it easy there, young fellow. There's nothing to get excited about. It's all in fun, I hope.
While some of the films demonstrate the basics of the game, this one takes a more over-the-top view.
In case you haven't heard, hurling is an old Irish game, a sort of athletic manslaughter. The idea is to sock a ball with this pretty club, or bat, or shillelagh.
Audiences were told you'll thrill each time an Irishman's skull shatters.
Played for hundreds of years, it's a fast he-man's game of skill and endurance, and no fooling.
There clearly is a focus on the violent potential in hurling. At the same time, it's very much in a comic context. So it's difficult to be, let's say, offended by it. It's so over the top. It's so performative. And as such, I think it's a crucial piece on the developing or evolving Irish-American identity in this period in the 1930s.
The GAA at the time wasn't particularly impressed with the depiction, but the footage survives and can now be seen at the Irish Film Archive and the Kilkenny Arts Festival on August the 9th. Sinead Crowley, RTE News.
An interesting snippet there. The Folk Festival gets underway in the coming week, and if you want to head down there, there's some interesting bands coming. Ooh, there's a group coming in from Edinburgh, or Scotland, Lau, L-A-U, and they were described as the best band in the world right now, and that was on Channel 4. They got together in 2004 and are made up of a group of young individuals that, I suppose, blend a lot of traditions, and we're going to give you a sample of their music. They got the one of their musicians, Aidan O'Rourke, he got Instrumentalist of the Year in 2006, Scots Music Trad Music Awards. And Chris Drever, he grew up in Orkney, and he's celebrated for his singing and guitar playing, whereas Martin Green, he's from south of the border in East Anglia, and he's considered a maverick when it comes to all this kind of stuff. So they produced a live album, Lau Live, in 2008, and although a somewhat unorthodox move for a second release, the trio has already earned themselves an exhilarating reputation from clubs, concert halls and festival stages. And festival stages include, of course, the Ottawa Folk Festival. And I'm going to give you a little bit of sample of their music. And when I come back then, I'm going to tell you a little about Delhi to Dublin, because they're also at the Ottawa Folk Festival, as is, by the way, Lynn Miles. And I noticed the Old Sod Band, and the Old Sod band is a local group that includes Philip Murphy, Tim Coots, Ian Robb, Ian Clark, James Stevens and Downey. And sometimes in there you have Greg Brown, and they're also performing. But this is a sample of Lau and a piece called Frankenflows and Unthubber. Thank you. that's Slough you're listening to in the background. And as I said, they're going to be at the Ottawa Folk Festival, and they will be on the QP stage, the main stage, on Saturday, August 14th at 6:30. Going to give you a sample of Delhi to Dublin, a very interesting name, and Delhi to Dublin, they're on stage on Sunday evening at the Ottawa Folk Festival, and they get on stage at 8:30 p.m. at the dance tent, and you can get all information on that at www.ottawafolk.org. they'll give you the full details of the folk festival and who's on every stage. Don't forget, you'll catch Lynn Miles there as well as the Old Sod Band. We're coming up to the 9 o'clock news. Oscar Elga from here on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and I'll be back with you after the news.
Canada's capital, this is CJLL, Ottawa Gatineau's multicultural radio voice. Broadcasting in over 20 languages, serving 40 ethno-cultural communities. This is Chin Radio, 97.9 FM.